Welcome to the Only Strong Tower Bible Podcast with Pastor Trevor B. Jefferson, a podcast dedicated to exploring the timeless wisdom and guidance found within the pages of the Bible. In a world where the challenges of life can often leave us feeling lost and overwhelmed, this podcast seeks to be a beacon of light, providing insights, inspiration, and a deeper understanding of the scriptures. Join us on a journey of spiritual exploration as Pastor Trevor B. Jefferson delves into the profound teachings of the Bible, unraveling its messages of hope, faith, and resilience. Whether you're a longtime believer or someone seeking answers, this podcast is here to accompany you on your quest for spiritual growth and enlightenment.
We've had a series of deaths in the church that I'm a part of in Arlington. A couple of months ago, the pastor asked and his wife appealed for people from the church to come and see the mother of one of the ministers there. And I was too busy and I didn't go. And I was thinking, well, I'll be able to come sometime during the week. But before the week was over, she passed. A couple of Sundays ago, matter of fact, the first Sunday in this month, Communion Sunday, the pastor asked the ministers how many would be available to go with him to administer communion to this person that had cancer, and he's had it for a while. And he's been of good spirits. He's been claiming God was going to heal him and all those kind of things. So the pastor wanted to go for communion. I had a little bit more time this time, but I said, no, I think I'd go some other time. And in the back of my mind, I remember what happened last time, but no, I got to take care of my kids, so I'm going to go home. And before the week was out, regardless to his profession of faith and how God was going to heal him and what have you, he passed. And of course, the next time somebody asks me to go and see somebody, I'm going to take the opportunity to do it if I can. Now, when I came in this morning, I was listening to the lesson and because the church that I go to uses a different lesson most of the time. Sometimes it coincides, but most of the time it's a different lesson. And I was listening to the lesson, and I asked my dad, I said, where's the lesson coming from this week? And he mentioned about Lazarus, and I heard you all talking about Lazarus. And as the lady gave out the text, I said, okay, because the text for the lesson started at verse 17. But the bigger question is, why did he die in the first place? Why did he die in the first place? In verses 1 through 16, tell us why. And all of us, go through different trials and challenges and situations in life, some more difficult than the other. And we cry out to God, and we don't want to be in that situation. And it seems like God is just taking his time. But God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God cares more for you than you care for yourself. He cares more for me than I care for myself. You know, God can heal. He healed the man that was sick with the palsy. He healed other people. But this particular person, he allowed to die. I've been healed at different times in my life. So I know God heals. And I hear sometimes people saying, well, you know, if you do right, then God's going to heal you. And so often we have bought this line that God, well, what if God doesn't heal me? What does that say about my God? Is he any less God? Or maybe I misunderstand something. And that's what I kept thinking about this older man in the church that had cancer. Because everybody was talking about God's going to heal you. God. And I know God can heal. But there was no room for, well, God may be trying to bring me with him. God may be trying to give me a promotion. God may be trying to free me of this world. Maybe trying to free me of this pain and free me of these tears and this struggle. There was no thought about that. It's just God is going to heal me. And again, God can heal. God does heal. But it's God that does it. It's God that makes the decision, I'm going to heal you and I'm going to take you on. God is the one that makes that decision. We hear a lot of times in television evangelists like Kenneth Hagin. He stated in his book, Healing for Father's Provision, on page 9, he stated, it is not God's will for any to be sick. And then he goes on to say, I believe that is the plan of the Father that no believer should be sick, that every believer should live his life to the full and actually wear out. If Jesus tarries, then fall asleep in Jesus. I state boldly that it is not the will of God, my Father, that we should suffer with cancer and other dread disease and reap pain and anguish. No, it's God's will that we should be healed. Now, that's kind of strange, because when you look at life and how that played out in his life, Hagin was transported to the by ambulance and admitted to the cardiac intervention unit at the hospital and remained there in the hospital until he died. And this is kind of strange, because years ago he claimed that the Lord had totally delivered him from that. But yet we sit and we say, wow, this guy can heal and this guy does this and that. You know, why can't I be a part of that? Benny Hinn, in Rise and Be Healed, on page 14, he unequivocally says, there will be no sickness for the saint of God. If your body belongs to God, it does not and cannot belong to sickness. The day is coming, I tell you this. I know it like I know my name. The day is coming there will not be one sick saint in the body of Christ. Nobody will be. Nobody's going to be. No one will be raptured out of a hospital. You're all going to be healed before the rapture. Wow. Strange. Nobody told Mary and Martha that. Nobody told Mary and Martha that. So as we look at our passage today, starting at verse 1, let's look at our passage today, chapter 11 of the book of John. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard. If you would, let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, please. If you can. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Martha who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. He didn't get the message. So the sisters sent word to him saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." But when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified by it." Now, Jesus loved Martha, no doubt about that, and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." This he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go, so that I may awaken him out of his sleep." Then the disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, who was called Didymus, a twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go, so that we may die with him." Praise the Lord. You may be seated. This morning, I want to speak to you on the topic, ill to God's glory and will. Ill to God's glory and will. This whole conversation seems so strange because today we're told that, we're supposed to be healed. You know, if we just believe, if we just have the right faith, you know, if we were just in the right relationship with God, that we would be healed. We wouldn't be going through all these things. Now, Job would have a little bit of an objection to that. He was eventually healed. But how long did he suffer? And what did he suffer in the meanwhile? While God was getting his glory. We are not promised to make it to the end of the day. And as I listen to the news reports and read in the papers, and even there's a television program on Spike TV called 1,000 Ways to Die. People not even thinking about death can die just like that. They can be as healthy as they want to be. But death, and I keep using death because for many of us, death is the worst thing that can happen. But the word says, "Blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." God has a different perspective on death. And if we accept God's perspective as shown through God's word, then we can have that perspective too. And we can think instead of death, separation from God, we can think sleep. And this type of sleep is better than dreaming. You know, because you do get to, well, you actually still don't get to the end, but you get to enjoy it in the meanwhile. And you never have to wake up. And you never have to cry anymore. You never have to go through these challenges of life wondering, you know, how am I going to keep this roof over my head, keep this bank from foreclosing on my house? How am I going to keep my kids from going crazy because I just don't think I can trust them? How am I going to keep my marriage together because my wife and I are not on the same page? And God does want us to be happy, right? So many divorces have occurred because of people's belief in their own thoughts. I don't know where it was stated that Christ died for our immediate happiness. On the contrary, he said that in this world, we would experience trouble. We would experience, that's what he promised us. When he told him in Acts chapter 2, you will be my witnesses. If you look at the Greek, the word is mater. He was asking them to be martyrs. And all but one of his disciples died a martyr's death. God didn't come to give us immediate gratification because it's not all about us. It's about him and his glory. And the sooner we can understand that, the better perspective we can have, even in the midst. There is a joy in the journey. David said, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, David didn't say, yea, though I dream about the valley of the shadow of death, or yea, though I plan about it, or yea, though I look down there and I see all those things going on, and I see it's dangerous or whatever.
Thank you for tuning in to another enlightening episode of the Only Strong Tower Bible Podcast with Pastor Trevor B. Jefferson. As we conclude this episode, may the wisdom of the scriptures continue to resonate in your heart and guide you on your journey. Remember, just as a strong tower provides shelter and protection, the lessons from the Bible can serve as a refuge in times of uncertainty. If you found value in today's discussion, don't hesitate to share this podcast with others who might also benefit from its teachings. Stay connected with us for upcoming episodes where we will continue to explore the profound truths that the Bible holds for each and every one of us. Until next time, may you find strength, peace, and unwavering faith in the embrace of the only strong tower.